Jeffrey, little brother.
Last time Edward spoke to me, he was laughing. We were on Red Pike Summit, ready to go on to Steeple. That would have been the 33rd summit of his attempt on the Bob Graham round of the Lakeland Fells. The wind had begun to blow, cooling the sun. I'd stumbled and twisted my ankle and could go no further.
Little brother, you're useless. I'm going to leave you for dead.
He might have said he was leaving me for dead. Or he might have said, for death. Well, he carried on and left me there. He even ran to show me what a hero he was and what a duffer I was. He pounded the ground for Scope Fell and the traverse to Steeple. In no time he was out of sight. I rested for 10 minutes.
Ten minutes exactly, Mr. Cotterill.
Roughly, I didn't look at my watch.
But the exact time was vital, wasn't it? Isn't timing the whole point of this Bob Graham thing?
There wasn't much point by then, was there? Well, not for me, anyway. My job was done.
Yes, you'd resigned.
That isn't fair.
You'd been pacing him from Wasdell Edge, you say. And timing him, I suppose.
Of course.
And did you note the time when he left you?
Well, of course, we needed it for the record. I wasn't that far gone, Sergeant.
How far gone would you say you were?
I'd cracked up. I was never anywhere near as fit as Edward, and I hadn't trained for this as he had. I'd done just enough to play my part. I'm not an athletic man, Sergeant. Nor an adventurer hooked on every challenge in sight.
Do I detect animosity?
I'd twisted my ankle. He'd left me for...
For what? What time was it when he left you?
16:35. We were ahead of schedule.
So the attempt was still on?
Oh, yeah, it was very much on. Edward would never allow himself to fail at anything.
But you allowed yourself to fail him.
I'm not Superman. That was the big divide between us. It's what...
Go on.
I was going to say it's what Edward never could forgive.
Edward?
Well, it is Edward we're talking about.
Indeed it is. I just wondered. And you say he was laughing.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
You know.
I'd like to hear it from you.
After 10 minutes or so, I hobbled after him.
Towards the traverse?
Yes.
But your leg was bad. Why didn't you return to Wasdell?
You let nothing pass, do you? I wanted to be sure he'd picked up his next pacer at Scope Fell.
Gilbert Craig.
Yes.
And had he?
You know he hadn't.
Tell me about it.
I couldn't see Edward on Scope Fell or Steeple. I couldn't see anybody. And then Gilbert appeared. He was worried because Edward hadn't showed up. Oh, he called for him and looked all round the area, but he simply disappeared. Finally, we asked a passing climber to alert Mountain Rescue. And then Agatha and Wendy arrived. They were in a state.
Agatha is, was Edward's fiancée.
Yeah.
And Wendy is Mrs. Cotterill, your wife.
Yeah. They were Edward's road team. They'd left Wasdell Head for the last road crossing point at Honestead Pass, but when he didn't arrive...
Who found the body?
We all did. Four of us. Actually, it was Wendy who spotted him through binoculars. She thought it was a sheep at first. He was lodged in a crevice 500 feet below the traverse. When we got to him, he was dead.
Don't. Please don't.
Leave her. I'll see to her.
I understand your wife became hysterical.
It was a dangerous place. There was another 1,000 feet drop and the wind...
Oh, yes, the wind. Probably that was the reason nobody heard him scream.
Scream?
Well, people usually cry out in these circumstances, unless he hit his head immediately.
Fell a long way.
His injuries were consistent with a tumbling fall. Perhaps that's why your wife was so upset.
We were all upset, Sergeant. I was upset, for God's sake. I still am.
Yes, of course. Especially in the circumstances.
What circumstances?
Why are you pulling out like that?
I told you, I twisted my ankle.
Leaning
I couldn't
into soldier
go
on alone with nobody to see what happened.
You mean it might not have happened if I'd been there? Do you think I don't wonder about that? Do you think I don't blame myself?
Blame, sir.
My wife blames me.
Please go on.
There's nothing more to tell. Gilbert took the women down the mountain. I stayed with Edward. Then Mountain Rescue turned up with a stretcher. End of story.
It leaves a lot of loopholes.
Is death ever absolutely tidy?
How long were you left alone with him?
5 hours. The rescue team was delayed.
It's a long time to be stuck with a corpse. It could affect some people. What did you do?
I sat with him. We kept each other company.
Did you? Well, what will you do now?
I shall train.
Train?
Next year I shall tackle the Bob Graham round myself.
Whatever for?
I'm not sure. I feel I have to, that's all. Sitting up there on the mountain, it came to me.
I'd strongly advise against it.
Oh? Why?
I'm a mountain man myself, Mr. Cottrell. Believe me, you're not the mountain type.
We'll be there in 2 minutes. Wake up, Jeff.
I'm not asleep.
You look like death. I suppose that's fear.
Why does everybody think they understand me when I don't understand myself? Agatha believes I'm doing this to prove something to the people who've blamed my weakness for Eddie's death. Gilbert thinks I'm proving something to the sergeant because he tried to build up a case against me. The sergeant thinks I'm not the type to do it at all. And Wendy, driving me into Keswick with her lovely face, as stiff as steel, Wendy thinks I want to show the world there's something I can do better than my big brother. And she knows the futility of that. How could a little auctioneer improve on Edward? But nobody knows. I'm exercising a ghost.
There's the moot hall.
There's nobody about.
I told you we'd be early. It's only 23:25. Heavens, 35 minutes to sit and fret.
I bet every one of the people who'll navigate for me and pace me, and Wendy and Agatha at the road halts, will be waiting for me to collapse and go the same way as Edward. Because how could his little brother Geoffrey achieve 74.05 miles, 42 mountain peaks, and 28,510 feet of ascent inside 24 hours on foot? Hardly anybody succeeds. It requires a giant. I'm no giant. What concerns me is still to be alive at the end of it.
Geoffrey?
Hmm? Oh. It's a beautiful night. That moon.
A moon in June. Time for silly love songs and heroic deeds. It was a year ago.
Oh, don't start, Wendy. I'm tense enough as it is.
Then call it off. It isn't too late, even now. You could apologise to everybody, say this was all a silly aberration.
It isn't.
It's a farce. If Eddie couldn't do it, he was so fit. I still don't understand.
Accidents happen, Wendy. Even the police sergeant admitted that people slip and fall all the time. A moment's lapse in concentration and...
You're talking like that. You know Eddie never lost his concentration.
And I do, of course.
You. You're useless.
Little brother, you're useless. I'm going to leave you for dead.
Oh, Eddie, let me be. You knew I could never be like you. I never pretended to be fearless or daring. But you wouldn't leave it at that.
You're quivering, little brother. I can see it from up here. You're a scaredy slime-making snail. What are you?
A snail, Eddie.
You have to learn to let go. I shall teach you. Now off you go. I absolutely order you to jump onto that drainpipe. Are you ready? 1, 2...
Geoffrey, stir yourself. They're here. What are you going to do?
I'm going through with it.
Oh, it's so stupid. I never thought you were actually stupid.
Hi, Nucky. Are you fit? Hello, Agatha. I was getting worried.
It looks like it. You're the colour of Lakeland Slate, a greenish shade of grey.
That's the moonlight.
Ask him how it feels to be on a suicide mission.
There's nothing like giving a man confidence, Wendy.
Edward could have done this. He could have. You could do it too, Gilbert, but not him.
He might, you know. We can't be certain.
Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, she of little faith. Hello, Gilbert.
Jeff, how do you feel, buddy?
Oh, absolutely wonderful.
Have you eaten?
A bowl and a half of pasta. That should see me through to Thrallkeld. Something the matter with John?
He's sorting out the kid. Everything's okay. Don't worry.
How can he not worry? I'm trying to stop him making a fool of himself. Or becoming a corpse. Gil, you try. John, tell him.
Tell him what?
Tell him he's certifiable. He won't listen to me.
Isn't it a little late for that?
Have you got everything, John?
Sure he has.
What about the head torches?
Oh, here they are. Oh. Here, you might as well put one on now.
Agatha, you put all your gear in the van?
I can do that after you've gone.
Waterproofs, medical kit.
Listen to him. Stop worrying, Jeff.
Drinks, maps, change of clothes, spare compass.
Everything. We've got everything. You're obsessed, Jeff Cottrell.
Well, of course I'm obsessed. Every contender gets obsessed.
Edward didn't.
Edward died.
Come off it, you two. It's 11:54. You have 6 minutes, Jeff. We'll shoot our nerves to pieces in 6 minutes.
Whew. Who's got the schedule? Oh, we've forgotten the schedule.
It's here, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, well, thank God. What time does it say we finish the first session?
You mean you don't know?
We're due at Thrallkeld at 3:50. We've been over this a dozen
yes,
times.
I know. It's just... Oh, God.
It's the waiting, that's all.
Gil, are you sure you can navigate the first section and the section after Wuzdal Head over Steeple?
I was going to do it for Eddie. It isn't too difficult. Look, our rest stop after Thrallkeld, meet up with you again at Wuzdal.
There should be two on that section.
You only really need two at night, Wendy. It'll be afternoon.
I'll be all right with Gilbert.
Yeah, but that's the section
I'll
where Edward...
I'll take care of him, Wendy.
It's 11:56. We should get over to the Moot Hall.
But remember to put your hand on the door before you start.
I'll remember.
It's like Mickey Mouse tackling Everest. What does he think he's playing at? Sort of macabre, isn't it? I mean, it being a year to the day, and everyone here the same. Except Edward. Same pacers, the same navigators, same road team, everything the same. Well, apart from Gilbert navigating all the way from Wasdell instead of meeting up at Scoped Fell. It's bizarre. Jeff's cracking up.
Really?
It's as if he's deliberately making us relive it. Don't you think so?
I don't know. I honestly don't. 2 minutes to go, Wendy. We'd better go over.
Somebody should tell him you can't outrun a ghost.
I know none of you expect me to get anywhere, but I might surprise you.
Sure you will, buddy.
Jeff, that police sergeant's here.
In the middle of the night?
He's over there,
sitting in his car across the street.
Never.
We've walked right past him.
What the hell does he want?
He's never stopped nosing around, not for a day.
He can't let go.
And he's like you, isn't he? Jeff, watch your back today.
Agatha, if you know
just
something...
Just take care, you know? Keep your wits about you.
30 seconds, everybody. Jeff, hand on the door.
Done. Ready.
He's raring to go.
I'll be sitting in a van all day, so why do I feel nervous?
We're all of us wound up.
15 seconds. 14.
That policeman.
Oh, bugger the policeman.
I feel sick.
Little brother, you're useless.
9. 8.
I remember this moment a year ago as if it was now. Edward standing under the Moot Hall clock, his hand on the door.
5.
Laughing.
4.
Wendy.
3.
Good luck, Jeffrey.
2. 1.
Wendy!
Don't do this, Jeff.
God.
Off you go.
Don't do it.
Now!
Okay, buddy.
Bye, Wendy.
They forgot to switch their torches on.
There's no need. The moon is so bright. Oh, it's exciting. You can't help getting a little excited.
Good luck. Off you go.
John's forcing the pace, isn't he?
Easy, John. We don't want to blow it. Right. Easing down.
Under the tunnel. Across Fitz Park. John in the lead, navigating the line, and Gilbert beside me, his rucksack bobbing. His job to keep me company. Keep me supplied with food and drink. Keep me going. Coming out of Keswick, John is blessedly silent, but Gilbert talks. He talks about anything except what we're doing, staving off paranoia. But I don't want to talk. Not yet. I want to be quiet. I want to take it steady, to work myself in. Climbing up Jenkin Hill, Keswick is a fairy tale, streetlights twinkling. The full moon has changed Derwentwater into white silk. Now we're in silent country, climbing Skiddaw, John urging us towards the first summit. And a black cloud, like a premonition, slides across the moon, plunging us into darkness.
Oh, that's better. You see the rocks?
And the holes.
Gil, that morning, when you set off with Edward, what was he like?
Does it matter?
I'd just like to know.
He was euphoric. Like the whole thing was a breeze.
Don't feel like a breeze to me. Has John speeded it up again?
Here, we have to have a photograph on the first summit. Only 41 to go.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
We've done 5 miles and 2,900 feet of ascent. The time is 1:17 a.m. That's 2 minutes under schedule.
Oh, wonderful. What was Edward's time?
Hell, does it matter?
Tell me.
Edward was 10 minutes under schedule.
Somebody should tell him you can't outrun a ghost.
Eddie had a following wind.
Right, Jeff. One picture, then we'll be off again. Smile.
Look like a winner, buddy.
How's that look?
Aggie used to say. In the States, she said Eddie always looked as if he was about to conquer the world. Like an English Tamburlaine. So he made everybody else think he could.
Well, he could.
Sure he could. Whatever he wanted.
I'll take both of you together. Like Tenzing and Hillary on Everest. Put your hands on each other's shoulders.
Sure. That okay?
That's great. Right. Well, shall I lead again?
Okay, buddy?
No, I'd like to talk to John.
Well, it's fine by me. I'll navigate this stretch, John.
Oh, right. Well, off we go then.
So, Eddie was happy on this section.
Happy as a king. You know Eddie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what I mean.
Oh, I know. 10 minutes ahead of schedule. The wind in his hair. Excitement. Lighting his eyes. That rugged smile.
Spot on. In a good mood, he was terrific company.
That's why he was so popular.
He was irresistible.
Women found him so, right from the beginning.
What shall I say to her, Eddie?
You don't have to say anything. It's what you do that counts.
I don't know how.
She'll show you. But you have to let go of your principles, little brother. I don't want you falling down in there.
I'll do my best.
Eddie! You look gorgeous.
Let me introduce you to Geoffrey, my little brother.
He doesn't look little to me. You're not too little, are you, Jeff?
Good evening, Vicky.
Oh, isn't he polite? Well, young Geoffrey, if you turn out to be half as good as your brother, I'm in for a shattering evening. Do you know, he recites poetry...
For God's sake, let us in, woman.
Oh, all right. You can come in any time, Eddie. You know that. Come inside, Jeffrey.
In you go, little brother.
I'm sure this is all right.
Relax, let go of yourself.
You all right, Jeff?
This heather didn't half whip your legs. It's a real flog. I don't remember this.
It shouldn't be here. This can't be right, girl.
For Christ's sakes.
He's lost the track in the dark.
Huh?
Where are we? I'm looking for the shooting bugs. The
mind the top of Calvert, don't they?
They should be over to your right somewhere.
Oh, we can't be lost already. We can't!
Yeah, I see them! Good for you.
Oh, thank God. I mean, worried there. Eddie wouldn't have worried, would he?
He would have jumped over the moon and landed on Calmer Summit.
Eureka! We're away! Yippee!
Great Calmer Summit. 2.80 miles from Skiddaw. Another 760 feet of ascent. Time, 2:25 a.m.
5 minutes behind schedule.
Oh, that's nothing.
It's something.
Don't get low, buddy. We've only started. You should eat.
I'm not hungry.
Nobody asked you if you were hungry.
Hunger isn't the point.
He knows that.
What about some rice pudding?
I don't want rice pudding.
Mixed fruit, then.
All right.
And a glucose drink.
All right.
We should be going.
I want a leak.
Then take a leak. But for Pete's sake, do it fast.
Look at the stars, Gil. They're fading.
To hell with the stars. Watch your feet. Watch your feet! Do you want to injure yourself?
What?
Is that how you're going to sneak out of this? You're going to break a leg?
What are you talking about?
You won't get through this day and you know it.
Oh, I will. My God, I will.
Then listen to your team. Do as you're told. Do as I say.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Just keep looking at John's backside uphill there and keep going. Don't think. Just keep going.
Keep going. Like Eddie.
Yeah, like Eddie.
The sun's coming up. It's morning.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hey, if Wendy could see me now...
She'd spit in your eye, buddy.
Blencathra wasn't too bad.
Seemed endless.
That's your imagination. What about that sunrise?
John, this can't be right.
What can't? This is Hallsfell Ridge. And by God, it's dangerous. Be careful, Jack.
What's going on?
This is not the right line. This isn't Hallsfell. It's the wrong ridge.
She's trying to demoralize me.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
How can he not worry? I'm trying to stop him making a fool of himself or becoming a corpse.
Don't worry, friend. We'll find it.
Gilbert! Jeff's gone!
He's what?
How's the hand?
Hurts. I think the thumb's broken.
You're lucky. John thought you were a goner.
Here, let me see it.
And don't touch it.
That's dislocated. Agatha will fix that. She was a nurse, wasn't she, Gil, in America?
Yeah, she was good.
If you hadn't put us on the wrong ridge coming down...
I'm sorry.
Two extra miles!
I said I'm sorry.
So am I. Forgive me, I'm edgy.
Hey, you two, come on. It's easy going now. We can make up the time. Come over here.
Look down there.
That's Thrill Cove. The girls are waiting for us. I'll run on and make sure everything's ready. Get your skates on!
Shall we run?
Did Eddie run?
You know Eddie. He never waited for anybody.
Right.
Hey, wait, Jeff! Not too fast! You'll break your neck!
Have something hot. There's boiled potatoes, rice pudding, or jam sandwiches and tinned fruit, pears, peaches, oranges.
Don't want rice pudding.
And there's tea and coffee.
Everything's ready.
Aggie spotted Gilbert coming down the fell, then she saw you. Surprised we got this far.
Get off potatoes.
Potatoes coming up.
Total the Thrill killed, 14.25 miles. 5,360 feet of ascent. Time... 4 a.m. on the nose. Estimated time at Thrill Cove, 3:55 a.m. It's not bad.
It's 5 minutes down.
It should have been more. Oh, Wendy, you should have seen him. He came down like the wind. He's worn me out. Oh, thought he would kill himself.
Perhaps he was trying to.
What was Eddie's time?
I keep telling you, that doesn't matter.
It matters to him, doesn't it, Jeff?
Tell me.
Eddie arrived here at 3:30.
Bloody hell.
Well, Eddie was a hero, sweetheart.
Here you are, Jeff. Hot boiled potatoes and piping hot tea. We'll feed Gil and John after you've gone on.
Oh, thanks. Gilbert, how much rest have we planned here?
12 minutes.
We'll make it 7.
7 isn't enough.
7 will do. That way we'll leave on schedule.
You must have proper rest. Even Eddie...
Is Rob navigating next?
Yeah.
Well, where is he? I don't see him.
He's checking the kid in the van. Relax. Eat, drink, rest. And let me see your thumb.
I'd like some more tea.
Okay. Then your thumb.
How do you feel?
Weird. None of this seems real.
It shouldn't be real, should it? Would you like a change of clothes?
Nope.
Your feet are soaked.
I went through a bog coming down. Didn't look where I was going.
At least have some dry socks. I'll get them for you.
No. I shall keep these socks all the way.
There goes your superstition again. It'd be comical if it wasn't pathetic.
Who says?
What do you mean?
Who says it's pathetic? You say. You.
Edward told me you'd always been superstitious and squeamish.
Edward says. You say. Agatha says.
Agatha says what?
Everybody says. But who knows what's going on inside my head?
You're very aggressive.
Maybe it's time.
Are you okay, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Stop him, Eddie! What's up with him?
Where are you going, Jeff?
Is he a cop?
Wait, Jeff, for heaven's sake! You little worm, how dare you shame me?
Let go of me! She's
what?
You humiliated me.
You're beneath humiliating.
Let me go! She wanted me to pay her.
What do you expect?
What do you pay her?
She does it with me for love.
How can she love?
She loves me.
Anyway, suppose the school finds out his Ed boy shagging a pro.
How will they find out? Now get back up there and apologise to her.
No.
You little slime.
I don't want to. Anyway, I couldn't do it with her.
You're a pathetic little snob.
How could you?
Have you no imagination? God, you're so dull. You make me want to...
Go on then. Hit me.
Can you two stop fighting? Let him go, Eddie. He's got no sense of adventure.
He's a prat.
He isn't like you.
Go home, Jeff. Go on, get back to your books and read about life.
You're such a baby.
Oh, let go.
It is dislocated. I'm going to push it back.
Oh, that hurts.
Of course it hurts. Some things do.
Oh!
Some sort of a hero you
Ouch.
Are. Jeff?
Mm?
Why are you contending the Bob Graham? This isn't your scene.
I have my reasons.
This obsession with Eddie, all these questions.
It's my business.
But you brought us into it, so it's our business too, isn't it? Besides, I was engaged to Eddie, remember?
I can't tell you.
You're reconstructing the event. Why?
Jeff wants to make a story where there is none. He's in a strange state of mind, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah, well, so is that sergeant. I saw his car crawling past a minute ago with the window down. He was staring. Oh, he gives me the creeps.
Why does he keep turning up? He's like a bogeyman.
He's Jeffrey's bogeyman.
That ain't funny. What time is it?
4:02.
7 minutes. Let's go.
But Jeff...
Rob! Where the hell's Rob?
The sun. Hot already. Burning my neck. That'll be trouble later on. A hot sun is the very worst thing. Worse than wind, worse than rain. Rob is going too fast. But he has to, we have to make up time. Watson Dodd was 5:58 a.m. and it should have been 5:40. I'm getting slower.
Yeah. Put your hat on.
Don't like hats.
You like sunstroke?
Could we stop for a minute? 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Have a jam sandwich.
Oh, I couldn't. Inside feels like a whirlpool.
You don't want to run out of fuel. Now, eat it, Jeff.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, eat several. Mm. At least 3. Then drink. I had a touch of sun once at Broadstand. You know what a death trap that is. I nearly fell. The rope just slipped away from my hand. I was lucky.
I'm not afraid anymore. I just feel... Oh, God. Terrible. How did Edward do this? Why do people push themselves?
We'll go round and up the left shoulder.
No. Take a direct line.
You don't want to be struggling up the face. Out to the left will save time and energy.
Rob.
Am I the navigator?
Tell me about Edward and Wendy.
What do you want to rake that up for?
I need to. I can't...
It wasn't my business.
You're a brother.
Even more reason.
Thought you were a friend.
Edward was my friend too.
She loved him, didn't she?
Jeff. Edward is dead. Let go of it.
You have to learn to let things go, little brother. Don't cling so.
I have to get to the bottom of it. I have to find
out. I can't help you.
You mean you won't?
Now, be careful, Jeff. You'll drive yourself crazy. You're burying yourself in accusations and recriminations. Take my advice and leave it. And let Wendy sort herself out. She might surprise you.
She still loves him.
Here. Drink this.
Yeah.
But I think what Wendy wants...
And what?
I think she wishes you were more... Oh, hell, I don't know.
She wishes I was more of a man, that's it, isn't it? More of a man like Edward. More like bloody Edward. She wishes I was Edward.
She's a passionate woman. You know that. And her imagination carries her away sometimes. She's always been distracted by heroics.
And seduced by heroes.
What's that supposed to mean?
Shall we carry on?
I think we'd better.
The early morning views are wonderful. Patches of mist lie in the valleys, but the sun is bright and clear on the tops. Was it like this for Edward? He would notice the beauty. It would inspire him. I dare hardly look. I daren't look at all towards the central fells because I know it'll horrify me to see how far there is still to go. But the food seems to have taken effect, like an injection of fuel. Suddenly I feel
strong, Rob. Strong. The legs, the lungs. I feel on top of the world.
You are. Helvellyn Summit. 6:44 a.m. Made up a hell of a lot of time. Well done. You got the school prize.
My little brother. He has a brain.
Why have you come, Eddie?
To watch my little brother get the school prize, of course. Family pride.
Why can't you ever stay out of my life?
Don't you want me here?
Edward, how good to have you back with us.
I say, Ed, I do like your tie. You've jazzed up.
Well, thank you, my boy. And how'd you find your university?
Absolutely sporting. I'm in the Cricket 11, captain of Rugger, and I'm off climbing the Rockies in the summer.
Adventuring, eh? Well, there's more charisma in sport than in academic excellence. Your brother will discover that. I say, Edward, as a distinguished old boy, why don't you present young Coffer with his prize?
Oh,
get up, Trav. On your feet.
My legs.
You have to. Now, you need food. Have some chocolate.
Oh, let me see.
Jelly. You can get jelly down.
Rob, what am I doing?
Open your mouth.
Oh.
More.
What is it?
Strawberry.
The bloody sun.
I'll cloud over soon. The weather forecast
Summer
says...
weather forecast.
You're going through a bad patch, that's all. One moment up, then down. That's the way it goes. Everybody has bad patches.
Even Edward...
Don't worry about it.
How can he not worry? How can he?
Oh, I don't. Shut up.
All right. Let's be going. We're still ahead of schedule.
Ahead?
I told you we were ahead.
I forgot.
You're doing wonders. You're a hero.
Can't move my legs.
Yes, you can.
I feel as if I've been climbing a 1 in 3.
You have been climbing a 1 in 3.
All the time. Even going down.
You're going through a barrier.
I'm clapping out.
No way. I won't let you. Not when you've got this far. Move! Oh.
Fairfield is a swine. I hate it. I want senses there going straight up, wanting to come straight down again.
Move, Jess!
Yeah, all fine. All right. You know what that Bob Graham was? He was a sadist.
They were very generous.
They're cheering you, Eddie, not me.
It's good to find that my renown lives in the memory of these hallowed halls. It flourishes in the corridors and shines like a sun over these playing fields. These are my fields of honour, Jeff. Here I came into my own. I miss them.
Well, aren't you happy at university?
I suppose. But what triumphs I had here. And all that seemed quite enough. It was self-sufficient. The groves of academia, the fields of glory, Headmaster Howard's heaven. But we move on, don't we? We must move on. We must keep moving. What are your plans now? Will you come to university?
No idea. I want to... Father's spoken to Harold Pritchard.
The auctioneer?
Yeah, he's going to take me on as a junior. I'll go to evening classes and study auctioneering, and later on there's a chance of a partnership.
Ye gods, my brother, a little auctioneer.
That's what I want to do.
And you must do it. We all must do what we have to do. And so must I.
What will you do?
I shall travel. Everything has become so dull. I can't stand it. I have to see the world. I want to experience. No, I want to conquer the world. Christopher Columbus and Genghis Khan rolled into one. To begin with, I'm going to Canada. I'm not like you, Jeff. You're content to live in books. For heaven's sake, your ambition is to be an auctioneer. You'll probably stay here for the rest of your life.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yes, you will. You're settled. You're a settled person. I envy you.
How can you envy me?
I've always wished I was like you. Worthy and plodding and dull and not expecting very much. I expect everything. And I envy your total lack of heroism. Inside me there's a restlessness that reaches out for... I don't know what yet. It torments me. So I shall keep moving, little brother. I shall strive and thrive, looking for challenges, peaks to conquer. Starting with the Canadian Rockies.
Will you go straight after your finals next year?
I would like to find a kindred spirit somewhere. Another tormented soul. Another adventure seeker. Do you think I shall? I shall look for that face in the crowd and in the lonely places. It will be a quest.
When, Eddie?
Tonight.
Can't go tonight. What about your degree?
I wouldn't get a decent degree if I sat exams till the end of time. So I haven't been working, you see.
Well, what do mother and father say?
Nothing.
You have told them.
You must tell them for me, my solid, stolid, rock-like little auctioneer. The whole world has become my oyster, Jeff. I can't wait to open it up. I'll send you postcards of the pearls.
And he disappeared into his magic oyster. Out of our lives.
You feeling better now?
Little. Stronger.
Good. You're doing great, Jeff. You're joining the Superman. Nobody believed it. Well, nobody thought. Wendy will be proud of you.
Don't be silly.
We've been lucky. Our roots have been good in all the fells in this section. We only have sea sandal, and it will run down to Dunmail. The girls will be waiting, and you can rest and eat.
Shall I want to get up again?
Oh, yeah, you will. There's something I can tell you.
About Eddie?
It probably doesn't mean anything. It probably isn't significant.
Something to do with Wendy?
To do with Gilbert. And Agatha. Did you know they were going to be married?
What? But Aggie was engaged to Edward.
Yeah. She was.
So how... Well, when was this?
When Edward dropped in Detroit. At the time, Gil and Aggie were living together. Then Gil met Edward. Oh, you know what Eddie and women are like.
Yeah, I do, but... Well, I still don't understand. Gil and Eddie were best friends. They were kindred spirits.
I said there was probably nothing to it.
Well, if it's true, there must have been something to it at the time.
Maybe.
We lost touch, you know, when Eddie went abroad. Oh, to begin with, postcards came thick and fast, and they're all bursting with enthusiasm, crammed with exploits. Challenges undertaken, triumphs achieved. The Rockies, Kilimanjaro, Fujiyama, Mount Sinai. They were a geography lesson, lived by my brother.
Yeah, typical Eddie.
Yeah. Something happened to him, though. As the years passed, the cards grew fewer than a rarity. Never came home, you know. Mother died, lonely for him. One night, a year later, when he hadn't heard from Eddie for months, Dad fell asleep talking about him, didn't wake up again. Next morning, postcard arrived from Detroit to tell us that at last, there in the USA, his quest had been fulfilled. He'd found his kindred spirit. Not just one. Two. They're all setting off South America to climb the Andes.
Like the Three Musketeers, little brother. All for one and one for all.
Is there anything else, Rob?
No. Forget it. I shouldn't have told you.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, what's your step? The ground is a bit dodgy here.
Ah! I'm wet.
Seat sandal. 7:55 a.m. Total miles, 28.55. Total height climbed, 11,760 feet. 5 minutes ahead of plan. And now it's only 17 minutes to the road stop at Dunmail Rays. And rest. Oh, God. Thank you.
Wake up, Jeff! Open your eyes! Ah! Ah! Ouch! You'll break your neck!
Jeff? Jeff? Mm. Drink this up.
Mm. What is it?
Vegetable soup.
Oh, I'm so tired.
You'll be all right.
What time is it?
8:15. You're doing so well, nobody believes it. Come on. Drink.
Oh. Oh, that's good. Ah! The ankle hurts.
Sure it does. You fell, remember. I'll strap it after you've eaten. You should look where you're going, Jeff. Rob says you're crazy. Here you are. Tea, hot and sweet. Okay?
Oh, wonderful. I must have dozed off, running.
What you need is your head in a bucket of cold water. Then you could drown yourself. I'll get the water.
Oh, bloody, it's funny.
Change your clothes.
No.
I insist.
No, Wendy.
Those socks are disgusting.
I'm keeping the socks.
Why are you so stubborn?
Did Edward change his socks at Dunmail Race?
No. What on earth is
then
that?
Then I won't.
I don't understand you anymore. You used to be so predictable. What are you up to?
You wouldn't understand if I told you.
Edward wasn't like this, you know, since you're so interested. Edward was laughing and joking. He was wonderful.
But Eddie was a hero.
Oh, Jeff.
Finish the soup.
All right. Fine, I'll shut up. There's rice and pears.
I don't want it.
It's 6 hours to the next road crossing. 6 hours till I see you again.
You sound almost sorry.
I'll get the rice. Tell him, Maggie. Tell him to eat.
Eat, Buster. Stuff yourself.
Oh, okay. Take your stinking sock off.
Only if you promise to be gentle.
First, we'll clean your face. You look awful.
I suppose Eddie looked wonderful.
He looked like a film star. The bastard.
Why do you say that?
Because he was a bastard. Admit it, Jeff. You don't have to hero worship him anymore. I don't want to talk about him, okay? I'm trying not to remember.
Why?
Okay. You asked for it. When he arrived at Dunmail, I was waiting for him. He came down in record time. The fastest ever split time for the Bob Graham. I was so proud, you know? I stood right here, cheering. Waiting for him to gather me up. He came down, leaping, laughing.
came down that mountain like a god. I lifted my face to him and I swear to you, there were stars in my eyes. And you know what he did? He kept on running. Right on past me. Into the arms of your wife. I've never felt so humiliated.
I don't want to know about that.
You asked me. My fiancé, your wife. What a bastard.
I'm sorry.
She threw herself at him, you know. Because you weren't enough for her.
Yeah.
I hate her.
I know. Hey. Come on, Maggie.
Oh, hell.
Where's Gilbert?
Gil? I suppose he's home resting. He's navigating again from Wassel Head. Why?
I like to talk to him, that's all.
Why?
Why is everybody so suspicious?
Because nobody knows what the hell you're doing. Jeff, be careful with Gil.
Careful? Why?
Gentle.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what I mean. Forget I said it.
Come on, Aggie.
There. Ankle good as new.
Rice pudding and pears. What more could a man want?
I'll see how Stan's getting on. Eat up, Jeff. You have 2 minutes.
Is that all?
This was a 15-minute scheduled rest. You have 1 minute 50 seconds left.
Is Stan navigating next? I thought it was...
Are you all right?
I seem to have lost track.
I'm not surprised. Look, Jeff, look, nobody expected you to get this far.
I'm not giving up.
You wouldn't lose faith.
No!
You're opening up old wounds.
Old loves.
Stan's ready. Time to go.
God.
Jeff, listen. Eddie talked about you once in Detroit to Gil and me. He said you scared the pants off him. He said my little brother is the run of the litter. But because he's had to fight for everything, he's become tough as steel inside. Jeff's problem is that nobody believes in him, and he doesn't believe in himself. If he ever does, we'll all have to watch out.
Eddie said that.
Yes, he did. So go on and suck it to him, Jeff.
How could Eddie be scared of her? Wasn't he the adventurer and me the dull little mole at Pritchard and Smith, burrowing through the dim world of auctioneering and estate agency, helping Harold Pritchard at the mart, passing examinations? Was there steel in that? And when Harold offered me a junior partnership, and I became church warden and treasurer of the PCC, and bought a house on the outskirts of town where the hills begin, where was the steel? That was my way, the runt's way. Not the heroes. If he'd known, Eddie would have laughed his head off. And when I looked for a wife, a sensible woman who would be a companion and a mother for my children, and then fell for Wendy, he would have rolled on the ground. She was so obviously unsuitable. Fiery, passionate, with an imagination like a volcano, she wasn't sensible at all. But her hair was black as night and her eyes burned. She launched herself at me like a rocket and blew me into space.
You all right?
Sun. Too much sun. There's no cloud cover at all. Not even a second.
Jeff, let's put a move on, eh?
Buzz off, Stan.
You're hanging about.
Go away, Stan.
We're slowing down.
10:36 a.m. Pike of Stickle. Then Rosset Pike. Then Bowfell. And then... And then... And then... Up and down and up. Miles upon miles of up and down.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Why did Wendy accept me? Not for sex, surely. For security. Perhaps. Her family was feckless and I was in trouble. But it seemed she needed trouble. And after we married, she grew bored without it. I wasn't exciting. I wasn't wicked or dangerous. I wasn't heroic. I don't think love entered into it. Only boredom.
Drink up.
What is it?
Glucose.
Can I trust you?
What do you mean, can you trust me?
Nothing.
Bloody hell.
Perhaps if we'd had children. But Wendy didn't want a child. She wanted a knight in shining armour. Yet we were all right in those years before Edward. I thought we were happy.
I hate scree. There shouldn't be scree. It's not on the plan.
It's 12 o'clock. Noon. Halfway.
We traversed too high on Bowfell. My fault.
Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the medicinal.
Hey, up. Calm down.
I'm going to sit down.
Later. Sit down later.
When?
Soon.
What's the matter with
you? You were a little dehydrated. You're all right now.
Am I?
Food in 10 minutes.
Oh, not again.
Yes, now listen. You're doing great. Do you hear? Great. Everybody thought you'd be dead by now.
Did they?
Dead as mutton.
Little brother, I'm going to leave you for dead.
Maybe Wendy and I would still have been all right if Eddie hadn't come home 10 years after he'd sailed to Canada and taken over my life again as if he'd never been away.
Next, we have 3 Frisian bullets from West Farm. Are these a good strong beasts, as you'd expect from a man who knows his cattle? What am I bid?
All the money in the world.
Pardon?
All the gold of Montezuma, little brother. All the jewels of Genghis Khan. All the wealth of Xanadu.
He stood at the back of the crowd, and it parted for him as if he were Moses. Most of the farmers knew him. They were glad to see him back. He brought the auction to a standstill.
Eddie, I'll talk to you later. I have to keep this auction going.
Little brother, you should always leave room in your life for the unexpected. Aren't you glad to see me?
He wore a moustache now. He was bronzed and weathered, and he looked like Cortez. He had some people with him. A man, rugged and handsome as himself, and a young woman. I saw at once that they loved him.
Geoffrey, meet Agatha. Oh. We're going to be married. What do you think of that?
Hi, Jim.
Isn't she beautiful? And this. This is Gilbert. Gil is my kindred spirit, my soulmate, my blood brother.
Hello, buddy.
They all smiled and stood there with their arms around each other like Siamese triplets. How could Eddie have taken Agatha from Gilbert and they all still love each other like that? It isn't possible.
Soak yourself, Jeff. Head to toe.
It's bloody freezing.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Did Eddie breathe here?
He had no need to. And no time.
But he was in record time. He had all the time in the world.
No. Time was running out for him.
What do you mean?
He was running away.
How do you mean? Running from what?
From everybody. Huh? From Aggie. From Gil, Wendy, you.
I don't understand.
He was running away from himself. Didn't you know that? Right, out of the water. You don't want to chill. Sun will dry you as you go. Do you feel better?
Refreshed.
Right then, let's run.
Stan? Tell me.
Walter takes over the navigating at Broadstand. Ask him.
I'll ask. But what can Walter know? How can Walter know how it was that night when Eddie brought Agatha and Gilbert and met Wendy for the first time? He turned it into a party. He made it a festival with his tales of adventure and danger, his wildness, his roistering, his vision, his charm, and that wonderful ability to attract people.
You should have seen us in Bolivia, Wendy. We took La Paz by storm.
When you and Gil rode mules through that market.
God, those mules! Mine kicked me in the ass. I still have the bruise. We rode through La Paz like conquistadores. Oh, Wendy, you should have been.
Oh, I wish I had been. Why didn't you tell me about your brother?
Why didn't I tell her? Because she should have been there. That was the life she was born to lead. And suddenly she was leading it, sitting at the hero's feet like a disciple, her eyes shining with envy and fascination and excitement and love. My wife was as overwhelmed by my brother as if he'd been the Holy Ghost. And I hated him for it. Walter hasn't a clue about any of that.
It's coming up now, Walter!
So, Jeff, grab a rope. Put it on.
I don't like this. Road stands too exposed. We should go round.
If we climb back down and go round by Fox's Tarn, you can forget the Bob Graham. Now, do you want to get up to Scorfell or not?
Yes.
So, put the rope on.
I'm too tired! If I fall off Broadstand, I'm a dead man!
Put that rope over your shoulders. Now, grab hold of this one. Right. Haul yourself up.
It's a 2,500 foot drop!
Get off this bloody ledge!
All right.
I absolutely order you to jump onto that train car!
I can!
Walter, I can't do this.
Nobody ever thought you could, old son, including me.
My feet are blistered. They feel sticky in my socks. I think it's blood.
Do you want us to look at them?
No, I don't want to see them.
Good man. Well, press on, then.
How far have I come?
When we reached Scorfell Summit, nearly 47 miles. 19,000 feet of climbing.
Good grief.
Make you feel tired?
Makes me feel great. Almost heroic.
Well, don't get carried away. You're 35 minutes behind schedule, and the schedule only has 35 minutes slack in it, and you're getting slower.
So, put a move on.
Can you take it?
If I pass out, kick me.
You asked for it, old son. Press on. Yeah.
If it had taken time for feeling to grow between them, I might have been able to do something. But Eddie gave me no chance, and Wendy no quarter. He monopolised his new disciple all night, staying close, teasing her ready affections like a cat playing with a mouse. It was embarrassing. I didn't know what Agatha was making of it, or Gilbert. Agatha seemed an open, friendly girl. Gilbert was friendly too, but hooded, enigmatic, the dark to Eddie's light. Perhaps that's why they liked each other. Could Agatha not have done something? Why were we both so helpless? When Eddie ignored her, she simply turned her attention to me, distracting me from what was going on. She said she was rich as Montezuma. She said she and Gilbert had been running a hotel in Detroit until Eddie whisked them off to South America, and now she was going to buy the men a new hotel business in the Lake District. For hours that night, I watched her watching her fiancé flirt with my wife, and she just kept on smiling. I thought, she'll do anything for him. And perhaps let him do anything.
There's something about your big brother, Jeff, that hooks people, you know? He's like cocaine. Once you're addicted, you can't get enough of him. And it affects men as well as women. Ask Gilbert.
Gilbert's getting drunk on my whiskey.
He's gonna pass out any minute now. Listen, Jeff, baby. You watch your wife, right? I'm not blind. I know what Eddie's like. He's cursed.
You've had too much gin, Aggie. You're not making sense.
He's cursed by himself, that's all I can say. He can't get any peace, you know? He always has to be looking for new experiences. Including women. He can't help himself. The bastard.
Did she expect me to feel sorry for my brother? Oh, I was glad to see him. Of course I was. I'd missed him. Eddie was the sort of person who, when he went away, took a chunk of the world with him, a slice of your life. And the world and your life felt bereft. But I was so afraid of him. That night, I saw how he'd always scared me. I realized that the only time I had any peace from it was when he was away, and that now he was back, the fear had come back too. He was such a giant. He made me feel insignificant and powerless. He made me jump out of windows. Now he was asking my wife to jump out of an aeroplane and she'd thrown away a parachute.
What's the matter with you, Jeff? Have you lost your tongue? If you have something to say, say it.
I think you should be less obvious.
Less obvious about what?
Showing your feelings. If I were Eddie, I'd...
You're not Eddie. You're nothing like Eddie.
If I were him, I'd think you were a pushover.
How dare you?
I suppose I did understand. She'd never before met anyone like him. Or Gilbert. They excited her. Aroused her. Bowled her over. Wendy, my wife, distracted by heroics and seduced by heroes. Surprisingly, she liked Aggie too. So, they took over our lives.
Scorfell Summit. Time, 14:37 p.m.
Never mind the time, Walter. I want to ask you a question.
Fire away, old son.
Stan said you'd tell me about Eddie.
Oh, I know nothing.
He said Eddie was running away.
Is he now? Yeah. What do you think he meant by that?
Oh, Walter, for God's sake.
Perhaps he meant from his weakness.
What weakness?
His insecurity.
Eddie was insecure.
A lot of things can make a man feel insecure. Didn't you know?
Of course I didn't.
You must have noticed how he was forever proving himself. Usually at the expense of others.
Well, yeah. How did you know?
He used me, too. As he used Gil and Aggie and Wendy and you, old son.
All right.
You asked.
But what was he proving? I never could understand.
Jeff, listen. Your brother was a natural hero. But in his own eyes, he was as weak as a girl. He fought against that all his life, testing his manhood over and over again. He was afraid. It was as simple as that.
There's nothing simple about it. You're talking rubbish.
Jeff, Eddie is dead. So why make me speak ill of him? He can't defend himself or do anything about it anymore, and neither can you.
Shut up, Walter. Shut up.
I'll shut up. And I'm going down Wasdale. How about you?
I'll catch you up.
Look at me, Eddie! This is me! I'm doing the Bob Graham! I am your little brother!
Jeff, listen. Next summer I shall run the Bob Graham.
Whatever for?
I should have thought that was obvious, because it's there. Because nobody can live in Lakeland and call himself a man and not attempt it.
Well, I'm attempted it. It's a killer, Eddie.
It can't kill me. I shall do it, Jeff. Will you help me?
You're joking.
I'd like you to train with me and then navigate one of the sections. Will you do it? We've always done things together. Remember Victoria?
Oh, yeah, Eddie, I remember. I remember a lot of things. I remember climbing out of a bedroom window nearly killing myself for you. I remember collecting the school prize from you. I remember dogging your footsteps on innumerable other occasions all my life, playing follow my leader, always creeping in your shadow.
Do I detect bitterness from my little brother? Do I detect jealousy?
Should I be jealous?
You're changing, little brother. While I was away...
While you were away, I grew up. And I'm married.
Is that what this is?
I won't be your foil anymore. I won't tread in your footsteps anymore.
Except in the Bob Graham. You will help me there, won't you?
And I won't let you follow in mine. You know what I'm talking about. Wendy.
Of course I know. You're worried Wendy won't let you loose on the fells. Well, you leave that to me. I'll fix it for you.
Sun. No breath of breeze anywhere on the long traverse down from Scorfell. Feet throb, kicking up clouds of stone dust. Dry mouth, sucking warm water, chewing fermenting food. Nausea, pain, and oh God, despair. I can't think straight anymore. Thoughts come and go like flies, settling and biting and whirring away. Then other flies swarm in to take the place. You can't make sense of anything like that. Eddie, what happened to you? What were you doing? What am I doing? Why? Why? Why?
Next year, I shall tackle the Bob Graham round myself.
Strongly advise against it. I'm a mountain man myself, Mr. Cockrell. Believe me, you're not the mountain type.
Call it off. Apologise to everybody and say this is all a silly aberration. Ask him how it feels to be on a suicide mission.
There's nothing like giving a man confidence, Wendy.
Edward could have done this.
Like an English tambourine.
He could have. He could have.
Tambourine.
He's like cocaine. Once you're addicted, you can't get enough of it. And it affects men as well as women. Men as well as women.
I think I'm dying. But there's Wasdall below me, and the campsite, and rest. And the church. On our last training run together, just before the Bob Graham, I asked a favour of my brother for the very last time.
This is a true mountain church, little brother. I love it. I shall be married here.
I said leave Wendy alone, Eddie.
Or else what? Little brother, are you becoming a soldier at last?
I mean it. Please.
The lady in question is a grown woman. She makes her own choices. No one forces her. She isn't worth your pain. Why even Gilbert?
Gilbert?
No, of course not. Though he would like to. If he could, to spite me.
Eddie, I'm asking you as my brother.
That's the last thing you should do. Because I would have my brother's life if I could. You see?
No, I don't see.
There's none so blind. Well, no matter. We are what we are, you and I, and not the hounds of hell will change us. Let us go, little brother, out into the world to fame and fortune. But before you go, pray for this unquiet soul.
Ah! Wasdall campsite coming up. Press on.
Thank God.
Gilbert, we're waiting for you. And Steeple.
You look haggard, old buddy.
Oh, hello, Gil. Are you fit?
Sure. I'll take you through the next section. Don't worry.
He looks ill. He can't continue.
He needs rest, Wendy. 15 minutes and he'll
he
be right as ready.
You know what he's got in 15 minutes? He's finished. Look at him.
Don't let him hear you.
I want him to hear me. Agatha, if we had a doctor here, he'd order him to stop.
A doctor say exercise is good for you. It's doing wonders for me.
You should see yourself. Go on, covered in dust and spit.
We'll clean him up.
He could change his outfit. That's good for morale.
He won't do it.
Eddie changed at Wasdall, spruced himself up.
Yes, he did. But you were at Scope Fell, Gilbert.
Aggie told me.
Well, if Eddie changed, I'll change. I want to finish this thing, Wendy. So I'll wash, change, eat, drink, anything. But leave my feet alone, okay?
Okay. Oh, you stupid man.
I know.
You're going to do it, aren't you?
If I survive.
That's the question, all right. And how are you going to survive? You're half dead already, and you know what's coming up next. Steeple. Oh, get out of those clothes, you're disgusting. Aggie, I want to talk to you. Here you are, Jeff. Rice and peaches and dried fruit and tea.
Oh, you'll make me sick.
Do you want beans?
God, no.
Well, then. Jeff, be careful over the next section, okay? There's something strange.
How's that?
It's Gil. Well, there are things he knows that he couldn't know, if you see what I mean.
Like what?
Hell, I don't know. It's probably Wendy's imagination. Or maybe it's just Wasdall.
This whole Bob Graham thing. Shoot your nerves to pieces. Like, last year. Well, when Eddie was here, he should have been excited. He was home and dry, but he wasn't excited. He was scared.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm learning a lot of things about my brother. New things. As if he was a different person.
He was two persons. Inside and outside were completely different.
Aggie, why didn't you return to America when Eddie died?
Because Gil had the hotel to run. And because I had something to do.
Well?
I still have. I'm going to take you away from Wendy.
You what?
A tit-for-tat love affair. Revenge, you know?
Yeah, but Aggie...
I know you love your wife. You stupid man.
So everybody tells me.
Tells you what?
Oh, Wendy. Where's Gilbert?
Here. How you feeling now, buddy?
Amazingly clear-headed. As Eddie must have been when he rested here.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, let me tell you something. As a child, I hero-worshipped my brother. In our youth, I envied him. But as an adult, I hated him.
Jeffrey.
So what? What are you saying?
He's saying that he knows.
Knows what?
How you can love and hate a person at the same time.
Is he now?
I hated Eddie when he returned from America after all those years, bringing you with him. I hated what he did, what he stood for. To the victor, the spoils. And I've gone on hating him since he died, but... Well, now, I don't.
Jeff, please.
Let him talk, Wendy.
I hated Eddie because I thought he was impregnable. But now I've found out that he too was afraid. That he fought fear all his life. Well, isn't facing your own dread the greatest kind of courage?
Sort of heroic, you mean?
Yes, girl, sort of heroic. At any rate, not like us.
Not like you. You failed him and he despised you for it. He laughed in your face and left you for dead.
Little brother, you're useless. I'm going to leave you for dead.
That's word for word what Eddie said.
Is it? Is it, Gil?
It's the sort of thing he said all the time to put people down. Especially when he wasn't feeling so high himself. And he got real low on the Bob Graham.
Yes, he did, but...
Jeff,
but how did...
I don't understand what you're doing. Are you turning this into an inquest?
Or is it a trial?
What I'm saying is that all of us here have reason to both love and hate Eddie.
Now listen, buddy.
Shut up, Gil.
And perhaps kill him.
Oh, no, not kill. Not Eddie.
Go on, Jeff. Enlighten us.
Well, you loved him, but he manipulated you. And he came to despise you. Gilbert...
Out with it, buddy.
Oh. Are you all right, Jeff?
Yeah, just a little dizzy. Gilbert, he took your fiancée. Well, he must have been jealous. Aggie, you loved him, but he loved other women.
And you, Jeff?
He smothered my life. I do feel dizzy.
That's exhaustion. You're overtired.
Eddie's death was an accident. You know that.
It's all in your imagination. Nothing happened, you know. He fell. You've gone mad. There's no story. You're making it up.
Just an accident.
He fell. This is madness.
Just an accident. An accident.
Yes. I don't think we should go on. The next section is a killer. It has to traverse the steeple where Eddie... Jeff, for safety, there should be two navigators in the steeple. Even Eddie would have had two if you'd stayed with him across the traverse with Gil. But you only have one. You only have Gilbert.
Are you ready, buddy? You Barrow is a bastard. But you can stand up, can't you?
I feel safer crawling. Too tired to stand.
We have to make time, buddy.
Does that matter anymore?
Sure it does. It mattered to Eddie.
Eddie burned me off at you, Bear. He was merciless.
Yeah. He was merciless. That was Eddie. There's nobody about. You notice that?
Huh. It was too hot for him.
Yeah, his son is a killer.
Well, it gives us a mountain to ourselves. So come on, buddy. On your feet.
You're merciless, too.
Sure I am.
Talk to me about Eddie.
No. 1731 hours. Red Pike Summit. The 32nd peak. Only 10 to go.
That's impossible.
You climb New Barrow in 50 minutes. Red Pike in 50. That's real fast. You've made up 10 minutes already.
That's killing me.
I won't let you give up. You understand?
I have to get to Steeple, don't I? Why?
We'll be there real soon.
The dizziness won't go away. It's getting worse. I concentrate on Gilbert ahead of me, and that makes it worse. Watching his heels lifting and kicking over this boulder field of hot stones. He's forcing the pace, pushing on and on and on and on.
Quit lying down. Get up.
Come.
Sure you can. This is where you gave up last year. You won't do it again.
I twisted my ankle last year. Why will nobody believe me?
I believe you.
Yeah.
Eddie told me.
But you didn't see him until he was dead. So you said.
Get up, Jeff.
Ah. I knew it. I knew it was you.
Not until today you didn't.
Still don't know why.
Damn you, get up!
I need a drink.
No more drinks. Now move it.
What is it?
We have to get to Steeple.
What?
It's next, after Skold. It's real close.
But why would...
Move! Okay, get going. Stay in front. Don't stop until we get there.
At last.
Yeah. Skold fell. There's the arete. And then Steeple.
Can we stop now?
No. Move out onto the traverse.
But Gilly...
Do as I say.
All right. Yeah, I'm going.
Yeah. Keep going.
It's bloody dangerous.
Keep going. Stop right there.
Well, why have we stopped here?
Because this is where I lost Eddie. Because you wouldn't leave it alone. Asking your fool questions. On and on, putting ideas in people's heads. Well, look where it's got you.
To the truth, I think.
And what the hell is that? I don't know what the truth is.
Well, I think you do.
The truth is so goddamn complicated, I still don't understand it.
Yeah, all right, Gil. Look, it's all right. Shall we carry on?
You stay right there, buddy. You wouldn't let it rest, and now it's my turn. Do you think I wanted him to die? I loved the guy. Really loved him.
When he took Agatha away from
you. I didn't care about that. You don't understand. I loved the guy, not the girl. I'm talking about real love. Love like you've never felt in your life. Love like I'd never felt before, for man or woman. I didn't think I was like that. Oh, Christ. Until Eddie came along. Now do you understand?
But Eddie wasn't like that.
Eddie loved me because we were the same. Kindred spirits, he said. But we were more than that. We were the same. Like two halves of the same person. He didn't love Aggie or Wendy or any of those women he kept running to. He loved me. But he couldn't admit it.
See?
You don't see it all. You said Eddie was afraid. Sure, he was afraid. Of himself. Of acknowledging himself. And of acknowledging me. He was ashamed of his love for me because he thought it was a weakness. It wasn't manly, for God's sake. Can you imagine it? This couple of real heroes, these macho guys, finding that out about themselves. Well, Eddie couldn't take it. So he ran. First to the Andes, then to Africa, then to England, and then to these goddamn mountains. But he couldn't escape it. No way.
So, what happened, Gil?
I wanted him to admit it. Just once. Just one time, I wanted him to tell me. I wanted to hear him say he loved me. But he wouldn't. He wouldn't say anything at all. He did what he always did when the chips were down.
Left?
Like it was all a joke.
He would.
I was waiting for him at Scopefell as arranged. I was ready to take him up Steeple, to navigate for him, take care of him. But I missed him on Scold. How in hell could that happen? Well, it was a day like this, roasting hot, nobody about. The only way was if he'd avoided me, see? I thought you both avoided me. Well, then I saw him. Already on Steeple, coming down from the summit, heading for the traverse back to Scold. Alone. He'd washed and changed, and he looked fresh as a daisy. He looked beautiful. So I ran to meet him. We were each end of the arete, and I hurried towards him on the traverse.
Let go of me, Gil.
When I reached him, he was laughing. He said he'd run you out on Red Pike and left you for dead. He said he hadn't seen me on Scold. That was when I asked him. Say it, I begged him. Say it! You know what he said? He said I'd become a burden. He said I should let go. Let go!
Little brother, you're a scaredy slime-making snail. You have to learn to let go. I shall teach you.
How can you let go a love like that? How can he love me and say that? I knew why. Because he wasn't a hero at all. He was a coward. So I hit him.
And he just laughed.
Taunting, baiting. He wouldn't give in, just like you. So I hit him again. And again.
For God's sake, we'll fall.
Why don't you fight back? What are the Cotterills made of, for Christ's sake?
All right.
Good try. Better than your brother. He didn't struggle at all. As if he was tired. Tired like you. Tired of making all those efforts. Tired of denying himself. Just plain tired. And then he went over. I still don't know why. There was blood bubbling out of his mouth. But he was still laughing. And then he keeled over. Off the traverse. Off the arete. Off the world. And he still hadn't told me. They say love makes the world go round. It doesn't. Makes it stop. You brought this on yourself, buddy. I would have helped you complete the Bob Graham, you know. And you could have made it. You had to know everything. And now you do know. I can't let you spill the beans. So off you go. Go join your brother.
No!
No! Give up! No! It's too late to be a hero!
Wendy?
How the hell?
Stop it, Gil! Let go of him!
Aggie, how come?
Get
for God's sake!
Frick!
Wendy. Kill it. Kill Daddy.
No, man. No.
Where is he?
He fell. Long way. Further than Eddie. Sergeant's climbing down to.
Sergeant?
And Aggie.
Aggie's here too.
I talked to Aggie.
And she told me she hadn't said anything to Gilbert about Eddie changing at Wasdale, and he wasn't there himself, so how could he have known? How did he know Eddie's spirits were low? How could he know Eddie's words about leaving you for dead unless Eddie talked to him afterwards? Yeah. After he had gone, we got really worried, so we told the sergeant. He contacted Mountain Rescue on his radio and they conjured up a helicopter. Just in time.
Glad you made it.
Oh, you are the most horrible sight I have ever laid eyes on.
Oh, well.
But I see there's more than one sort of hero. So come on.
Yeah?
Get up.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm staying here.
No chance. You are going to finish the Bob Graham.
That ain't important anymore. Anyway, I'm miles behind schedule.
You can still make it up. Look, your next navigator's waiting for you at Great Gable.
Oh.
Hey, I'll go with you to meet him. Yeah. What do you say?
You'll come with me.
Why not? We can do it. Together.
Yeah?
Look, Jeff, don't you want to be a hero?
No, I don't. I couldn't care less, really.
Come on.
In Sort of a Hero, Geoffrey was played by Christian Rodsker, Edward was John McCardle, Gilbert, Martin Reeve and Wendy, Diane Whitley. Vicky and Agatha were played by Sue Jenkins, John was Keith Ladd, Robert, John Branwell, Stan, Tom Bowles and Walter, John Basham. Young Geoffrey was Carl Anthony Bonworth and young Edward, Michael Turner. Sort of a Hero was written by Eric Pringle and directed by Kay Patrick.